Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Beis. We are holding on the very bottom of daf Mem Aleph and Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. Hahu da Amar Lei Lechavre. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, and Hashem Shav Naliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So we were in the middle of going through all of these different stories where that relate to someone saying that Parua, that yes, I admit that there was a loan, but the loan has already been paid. So we went through the first four stories yesterday, and today we're going to go through the last two stories that relate to this. The sixth of the stories relates specifically to a claim that payment was received for a different chov, that when the Malva turns around to him, he says, I know you paid me, but that was for a different chov. So is there any ne'amanus on the Malva's part for that? Then the Gemara is going to discuss cases where the Lova gives a special ne'emanus to the Malva that the loan wasn't paid. He says, look, I'm going to, no matter what I say, I'm giving up my rights to make any claims that the loan was paid. You're always going to be believed and I'm not going to be believed. But then there were edim that the loan was paid. So what do we do about that? Do we assume that the Lova has given the Malva absolute ne'amanus, even against Edim or only against himself? Then the Gemara is going to quote a stira in the Mishnah, whether we take a shvua to a katan. Are we ever nishpa to a katan? So Rav is going to have one mahalich the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on, and Shmuel is going to have another mahalich that the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on in dealing with that stira, and that discussion is going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. And the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us, Elu dvarim she'ein nishpa in alehen, which items are not subject to a shavua, and it's going to have a whole list of things that are not subject to a shavua, and it's going to tell us that that list is also excluded from a bunch of other halachos. What else though that list is excluded from? The Gemara is going to talk about, how do I know that that list is excluded from, the things that are excluded from a shavua are also excluded from kefel and dalet vehei and shavua v'shomer chinam and things like that. So let's begin. Two lines from the end of the page on daf mem aleph and beis. Udam le lechavre. Story number five. A guy said to his friend, "Havli shis me'azuzi demasiknabach. Give me the $600 that you owe me." So Amalei, the lover, responded, "V'lo paraticha me'akabi. Didn't I give you me'akabi afzi? Didn't I give you 100 kabim of gallnut juice to kaimi b'shita shita? And a kav of gallnut juice is worth 6 zuz. So I gave you the value by my calculations. 6 times 100 is 600, and therefore I paid you the 600 zuz, and therefore I owe you nothing." So Amalei, the Malva, responded, "Look, you gave me 100 kav of gallnut juice, but lav barba arba avukaimi. It wasn't 6 zuz apiece; it was 4 zuz apiece of when you paid it to me. So yes, I admit that you paid me 400 zuz, but you still owe me an additional 200 zuz." This is the way Rashi understands the back and forth. It's a little bit difficult because the story starts out where he says, "Havli shis mea zuzi demasiknabach. Give me the 600 zuz that you owe me." And now in the very next breath, he says, I mean the 200, because you already did pay me 400. Well, then why did he say shismei in the first place? But this is the way we're understanding, that he's really only asking for 200. I'm admitting you already paid me 400, because I admit that you gave me what you said you gave me. What we're disagreeing about is the valuation of the item that you gave me. So Asu Tresadi, two witnesses came, and they said, "In barba arba habakaimi." The Malva is right in terms of the valuation of gallnut juice. It's only 4 zuz for each kav. And therefore the Lova says, okay, fine, maybe they're right about that, but one thing I know is that I paid back the entire chov. So if I paid back 100 gallons of gallnut juice, I must have also given you $200 cash, because I definitely paid back the entire chov. So I'm Rava Huchsa Kafran. Rava says he's Huchsa Kafran. The Lova is Huchsa Kafran because he had initially claimed it was 6 zuz for each kav of gallnut juice. And he was wrong about that. That was not true. So we're not going to trust him now where he says he also paid back the other 200 zuz. So Rami Bar Chama, ha'amrit kol milsa l'rami alei dinish lavadaite. So Rami Bar Chama said right back to Rava, "You're the one that said that anything that a person is not responsible to know he's not going to pay close attention to. So here also, it's not the lover's responsibility to remember exactly how he paid the chov. It's only his responsibility to remember that he paid the chov. So it could be he made a mistake and he thought he had paid it back entirely in gallnut juice, when in reality he paid it back through some combination of gallnut juice and cash. Samlei Rava, Rava responded, Kitsuta detara mitkar dekibri inchi. The value of something that a person deals in business, he remembers. Meaning, obviously, why is he paying back 100 kav of gallnut juice? It's obviously his business. He has a gallnut juice business. So things like that, people remember how they make their money, and they remember the value of things that, so you can't call that a milsa de lo ramya alei de inish. Now the sixth and final story. A guy said to his, by the way, the Me'iri quotes Gedolei HaMefarshim that the whole story is a little bit different, that the Malva Taina, that nothing was paid back. Not like Rashi, that he was only asking for 200 zuz. Like the original Pashtus is, where he's asking for 600 zuz. When he says that afatzim are worth less than you claim that they are worth, he was just trying to show him, look, you didn't pay me, because why would you pay me 400 zuz worth of afatzim when you owe me 600 zuz? And nevertheless, the Miri says they were not mechayiv the entire amount, and he was medayik that from the gears of the Gemara that he had, that it says chivei, that he was only mechayiv him to pay the difference between the value of 100 kav of gallnut juice, because he zuch so kafron only on that additional 200 zuz. So the way the Miri understood is he was asking for 600, but he really only got 200 in the end. I mean, the Beis Din only awarded him 200, even though he was asking, when he said that gallnut juice was worth 4 zuz each kav, he was just trying to say, and therefore you didn't pay me anything, but the guy was only hooks a kafron on the other 200. Okay, anyway, the sixth story. A guy said to his friend, Havili me azuzi de masiknabach. Give me the 100 zuz that you owe me. V'hashtara, and I even have a shtara that says you owe me 100 zuz. So you can't beat that. So Amalei, the nitva says, praticha, I paid it. So Amalei, the malva then says, yeah, you did pay me that amount of money, but hanu sitrayin inhu. That amount of money that you paid me was for a different chov that you owed me. This chov in the shtar is a different chov that you have not yet paid back. So I want you to pay back what you owe me in this shtar. So it's machlokas amarayim. Amar of Nachman, itra shtara. The shtar is weakened because the malva was moda that he received money as piron achov, and it's a chov that we know nothing about. The only chov that's documented is the one in the shtar. So once he's moda that he received money for piron achov, he can't taina that it was for some other chov that nobody knows anything about. It's obviously about this chov, and therefore that's it. The payment is already done, and you cannot collect anything. There is a machlokas rishonim what Rav Nachman means by this. The Riv quotes in the name of Rav Shirugon and Rav Haigon that the shtar is completely bottled. We tear up the shtar, and that's it. There's no more money owed anymore. It's like a stam tvias mamon that you're making balpeh, where the lover just takes a shvuas eses. He's kofar akol, so he takes a shvuas eses, and that's it. He doesn't have to pay anything. It's as if the shtar doesn't exist. Whereas Rabbeinu Chananel says that which Rav Nachman says, that itra shtar, and he doesn't say that the shtar is batel. It tells me that the shtar is not batel. It's just that there's a reyesa on the shtar. So it could be that they're able to collect with the shtar, but the malva is going to have to be nishba, even if he trusts him that he paid back, that the malva is still going to have to be nishba. The Ramban says that Dafka says itra shtara and not iftel shtara, because the shtar is not entirely batel. It's only batel in that he cannot collect from the chasam shabadim, that he's only allowed to collect from the chasam deichorin. But we're still going to believe the shtar that's in front of us. So anyway, but the pashtus is like the first mahalik. The Rav Nachman says, itra shtara, your shtar is worthless now because you already admitted that you've been paid back. Whereas Rav Papa Amar, lo itra shtara. There's nothing wrong with the shtar, because the malva taina is that the piraon was for a different chov, and therefore the malva could collect the chov that's in this shtar, and he's got a shtar in hand, so he can collect what he has, the chov that's recorded in the shtar in hand. So ask the Gemara, there's a stira between that which Rav Papa paskins over here to that which he paskins somewhere else. Over here he says that when the Malva claims, admits that he was paid back, but he says it was for a different chov, he could still use the shtar in hand and get paid back. Why is this any different than a different maisa that happened where someone said, "Avli me'azuzi d'masikna b'achva shtara, give me the $100 you owe me, and I have a shtar documenting it." Amalei, and the nitva says, "Love aturi yahavitli. Wait, didn't you give me that money that you're asking for an investment in oxen that I should buy these oxen and we should slaughter them and we'll split the money that we get for selling the meat? And I did that. I bought the oxen. I shechted them. Va'asis v'sivus amaschata. And you came and you sat next to the butchers where they cut up the meat and they sold it. V'kibal tazuzach. And then you received your money that you were owed for the investment in these oxen." So Va'amalei, and the Tovea said back, "Hanu sitroininu. Yes, that did happen, but that was for different money. That was for a milva al peh. Yes, I did give you money to invest in oxen, and we did have that whole maisa. But what's written in this shtar is different money. It's money that I lent you for something else, for your own personal needs or something." Vam Rav Papa, and Rav Papa Paskin there, itra shtara. You admitted that you got paid back, so you cannot now use this shtar to get paid again. So how come in our story, Rav Papa Paskin, that we accept that which the Malva says, that the money that he got paid back was for a different chov, and over here Rav Papa says itra shtara, it's the same Rav Papa, how could he change his position? So says Gemara Hasam, keeping the kamar aturi avtali umiturish shakalta itra shtara. By the case where the oxen were involved, there was an investment in the oxen, since the lova tainet to the malva, you gave me the money for this investment in oxen, and from the profits of those oxen, you already received your payment, and the malva was quiet about that, meaning he was moda that the shtar was written on that chov of the investment in the oxen. So therefore, it's a race on the shtar, because the tovea was also moda that he received money from the sale of the oxen, and it's Raglayim L'davar that the Pira owned from the value of the oxen was for the chov that was in the investment in the oxen. You can't say, "Yeah, I lent you money for the oxen, but when we started getting the profits of those oxen, the money that I got was for different money that you owed me, and now you still owe me the money in the investment of the oxen." No, you already admitted by being quiet that the money you got paid back was for the investment in the oxen, and we don't know about any different chov. But hach over here in the story where the malva tainas that he received money for some other chov bal peh, that there's no connection at all between the money that the malva was moda that he received and the money that's written up in the shtar, that's documented in the shtar, Amos Sutraininu. So then it could be that he's telling the truth, that there is some other side deal for which he has not been paid back. So my havi Allah. So what is the halach about a malva that says Sitra'i, where he says, I admit that I got paid back, but it was for an entirely different chov. We had this machlokas amarayim. How do we paskin? Rav Papi Amar lo itra shtara. The shtar is strong and you can still use it, like Rav Papa had said. Rav Sheshbe Javidi Amar itra shtara. The shtar is weakened, like Rav Nachman had said. V'hilchasa itra shtara, that the shtar is weakened, it cannot be used again to pay to get for the malva to get paid back this chov. However, the Gemara says with a qualification, v'hanimili, this din that the shtar is now weakened is only depari ba'apesade, where the lova pays him in front of edim v'lo itkar le'shtara, and he never said, the lova never said beferish that it's a piraon on the chov that's documented in that shtar, because it's most mistaver that the lova is paying the chov in the shtar, that the malva that the malva can force him to pay, rather than that he's paying some other chov that the malva does not have the ability to force you to pay, because there are two things that the malva is claiming from you, or the malva wants from you. One is something that he can document and he can show that you owe him, and the other is something that he has no evidence whatsoever that you owe him. When you pay, you want to pay off the thing that he can document that you actually owe him. Aval pari ben di day. But if the Lova paid him privately without any edim, migod yachol emir la hadam, since the Malva could have said, you never paid me, he could have denied the whole event ever happened, that he ever got paid, yachol nami lememer sitroininu. Then he's going to be believed to say that I do admit that you paid me, but that which you paid me was for a different chov. Ukadavimi bereid Rabbi Avo, and this is similar to the story of Avimi bereid Rabbi Avo that appears in Maseches Ksubas and Daf Pehei, where he owed money in the shtar and he sent them with the shliach. He sent the money with the shliach to the malva, and the shliach gave the malva the money without receiving the shtar in return. And then the malva came back with the shtar and so wanted to collect again. And he says, yeah, I got the money from the shluchim, but it was for a different chov that you owed me, and that's why I didn't give back the shtar. That's why I still have a shtar that's eino perua. So you need to pay it back. So Rabbi Avo paskin that since he paid back without edim, the malva's neman with the migo, that he could have denied the entire thing. So when you pay back with edim, so now that we know that it was paid back and the malva doesn't have the ability to deny that, then it's going to be itra shtar. Then we know the lova obviously paid back that which you have a documented, you have a shtar against him. But when he pays back bein olav eratzmo, so migo that the malva could have denied the entire payment, he's believed to say that yes, you paid me, but you paid me for a different chov, and now I want to collect with this shtar. Okay, another maisa, or two cases where the lova, what changes in this case is that the lova grants special ne'emanos to the malva. Who damale lechavre? Someone borrows money from somebody else and he says, listen, mahamit li kol emas ta'amit li lo parana. When if we ever get into a fight, a squabble, a disagreement about whether I paid you or not, I am hereby foregoing, I'm giving up all my ne'emanos. You're always going to be believed to say I didn't pay you, and based in, and everyone should ignore if I'm claiming that I did pay you. I'm giving you all the ne'emanos. So Azal Pari Bapi Sadeh, and then he was careful to pay him in front of Adim. So Adim testify that it was paid back. So Abayi and Rava Damer Tavayu Chalhimne. And the Malva is still claiming that it wasn't paid. So Abayi and Rava say, well, the Lova gave the Malva this Ne'amanos, that it wasn't paid. So I don't care that there are Adim. He said the Malva always has absolute Ne'amanos. That's Abayi and Rava's Shita. A little difficult to understand what the Svara would be in Abayi and Rava's Shita, right? That he's giving him Ne'amanos more than Adim. Meaning you can give him all the Ne'amanos that you want, but Shnei Adim that are made, that it was paid, is the highest level of evidence that exists. So the Gemara is going to bring another maisa that the lova believes the malva kishnei edim, and it's considered that the lova passels all the edim. Meaning the Gemara is going to bring another maisa where he says malva, you are believed more than shnei edim. So in that case, that's the lova doing a hodas baldin that I am in advance. I'm passeling every aid that you're the only voice that's going to be believed. So that's what Rav and Abayi are understanding over here. I'm passeling every aid. You're the only voice that's going to be believed. When I say you have ne'amanos, I mean full ne'amanos. So Maskar Rav Papa nihi dehimni tfei minafshei tfei misadim imahemnei. No, all he meant to say is that if we ever disagree, it's a he said kind of thing, so then you'll be believed and I won't be believed. I wasn't granting him more ne'amanos than Adim. I have to have some way to be able to prove that I've paid back. So you can't just come collect from me every single day. So another story that happened, a guy said, you are believed like two edim anytime you say that you didn't pay. So Azal Parabape Tlasa. So he went and he paid him back in front of three edim, because he only gave him the amanus of two edim. So Amar Papa Kibay Trehimni, he believed him only like two edim. Kibay Tlasa Loimne, he never gave him the amanus of three edim, and therefore now it's paid back because he has three edim that he paid back, and the malva is not going to be believed anymore. Amar Le Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua the Rav Papa. So Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua challenged that. Emor Damar Rabbanu Dazlin and Basar Rov Deos. When do we say that three is different than two? That three people is different than two people? Hanimilin Umduna. That's when we need to assess the value of something. So we need to evaluate how much is a piece of land worth, how much is something worth. So three people, we assume, gives us a better valuation than two people would be able to give us. The more people you have involved in the valuation, the more expertise there is in the room, the better of the better chance you're going to get an accurate and clear evaluation. Avalinian edus meya kitrei trei kameya. When it comes to edus, 2 edim is the same as 100 edim, and vice versa. It doesn't. There's no advantage in having more edim than two. So when the lova gives ne'amanus to the malva like shnei edim, that's the same thing as giving ne'amanus to the malva like 100 edim. So 3 edim are machish the malva. They're not believed more than the Malva is. He's Neman that it hasn't been paid back yet. So Rav Huna ben Rav Yishua's challenge to Rav Papa, that I don't understand why 3 edim should make any difference. Lishna Krina, another lashon of how this conversation happened, is Ahu Damle Lechavri, same case, Mamelika Beitrei, Kalem Samartalo Parana, that in Ozul Parabapi Tlasa, I'm giving you that manus of 2 edim if you ever claim that it wasn't paid back, and then he paid it back in front of 3 edim. So I'm Rav Papa Kebeitrei, Emrika Beitlasa Loimne. Rav Papa said again that he only believed him like 2 edim, not like 3. So 3 is bigger than 2. So Master Rav Huna ben Rav Yishua, Trei Kamei Omei Trei, and Rav Huna ben Rav Yishua challenge. What are you talking about? 2 is the same as 100. 100 is the same as 2. So here's where Rav Huna adds that there's a chilek. There is one case where there's a chilek in how many edim there are. The Amrit Lei Kebei Tlosa. If he would have said, "I'm giving you the nemanos of 3 edim," Vazel Paribape Be Arba'a, and then he paid back in front of 4 edim. Well, then the 4 is better than the 3. Kimid the Nachas Ladeos, Nachas Ladeos. Why on earth would you tell the guy, "I'm giving you the nemanos of 3 edim"? 3 edim don't have any special nemanos beyond 2 edim. No, it must be that you're saying, I'm going to play this game, ki'ilu, numbers of witnesses matter, and therefore, I'm going to give you the namanus of this number. And he picks a specific number. And therefore, when you have a greater number of witnesses that actually testify that the money was paid back, the 4 is going to be greater than 3. So even though midine edus, trei kameya meya katrei, and 3 is like 4, and 4 is like 5, and all the rest, but the fact that he gave him namanus of 3 tells me that he wasn't giving the regular Nemanos of Edos, that he was working with a model where more people is more Nemanos, and therefore he was trying to say that that if we could have more people than 3 that could testify that I paid it back, then in fact I've paid it back. Period. That's the end of that discussion. Now we're going to ask a stira about taking a shvua to a katan. So the Mishnah said, "Ein nishba na tainus chereshot v'katan ve'in mashbi in esa katan." We don't take a shvua to a taina of a chereshot v'katan, nor are we mashbia a katan. There is a machlokes rishonim which kinds of shvuos we're talking about. The Ran quotes a Rimi Gash that only on a shvua that comes with the tainus bari, like a shvuas modem mitzas or a shvuas eirechad. I say you owe me $100. Tainas bari, and you say no, I paid you 50, or you deny it all, but I have one aid that says you owe me the money. So then we say that ein nishba in lekatan. But a shvuas hashomrim that even applies by a tainas shema. Look, I gave you my pikadon to watch, and I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it was nignav or nenas or whatever, but I'd like my pikadon back. The whole thing is a shema. The whole thing is based on the tainas shema that we are taka nishba in lekatan. That you have to take, because why should a katan be any worse than anybody else? Meaning the whole point of a taina of a katan, to take a shvua to a katan, is that the katan's taina is not really such a strong taina. Well, if everybody only has a taina shema, nobody's taina is such a strong taina. And yet the Torah still says that there's a shvua sashomrim when it comes to a shvua that requires a taina's bari, so that the katan's taina is not really a taina. So that's how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chirus as well. However, the Ravid in the second paragraph of Hilchos Chirus disagrees. He says, no, there's no, a nesina of a katan is nothing. It's not a pikadon, and therefore there is no shavua. You don't take a shavua to a katan at all. Not a shavua smodem mitzas, not a shavua seilech kenegdo, and not a shavua sashomrim. But we're focused on the other part that ein nishban al taina. You're right. We're focused on that. We're not focused on the part of ein mashbi and esa katan, but that we're not. You don't take a shavua to a taina of a katan, which is exactly what that Machlokes Rishonim was about. So my time, why is it that we don't take a shvua on a taina of a chereshot of a katan? Amar Kra, because the Torah says in the parsha of Shomrim, It says kiitein ish el re'eu kesef okelim lishmar. And so you see that the nesina of a katan, that's not the nesina of an ish. It's interesting. That's by shomrim that the pasuk says. So even though the rimigash deals with that, meaning the rimigash is one that said that this whole idea that ein ishbal nekatan doesn't apply to parshas shomrim. It only applies to modem mitzas or a edachet kenegdo. So he says, yeah, even though kiitein is in the parsha of shomrim, but the miut of ish is not misyaches to the parsha of shomrim. It's misyaches to a parsha of a milva, because it just doesn't make sense for it to be misyaches to the parsha of shomrim. Okay, avul nishbal lekatan ulehegdish. But we do take a shvua to a katan and to hegdish. So says Gemara, wait, this is a stira. V'amrit reisha, we just got through explaining why that we do not take a shavua on a taina of a shota v'katan. Now you're going to tell me in the next line of the Mishnah that we're nishbayin l'katan? So two mahalchim, each one is going to take some time. Mahalich number one is Rav. So I'm Rav, how do I deal with this stira? V'ba b'tainas aviv. The seifa where we do take a shavua to a katan is where the katan's not coming with his own taina. He's saying that my father gave you a pikadon, and therefore you're chayav a shavua, because the father is the one that gave it. It was the father's business dealings. So that's where it says ish. Meaning that's where it's a fulfillment of that which the pasuk says ish. Because it wasn't ish that gave the pikadon. It wasn't ish that was involved in that loan. It's just the katan is coming with the taina. So that you take a shavua on. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here. And we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Titania Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Pam shadum nishval taina satsum. Sometimes a person has to take a shavua even though no one made a taina against him. It's just his own acknowledgement that he owes something. Kate said, Amar lo, Lova says to the son of the Malva, Manala avicha biyadi, you know I owed your father $100, ve'achalt of pras, but you should know I paid back half of it. So I raise an ishba, he takes a shvus modem mitzvahs, even though there's never any taina against him. The kid didn't know that he owed the father $100, he volunteered that information. V'zeu shenishbal tainas atzmo, that's a case where you can be nishbal tainas atzmo, because you're a modem mitzvahs, even though no one ever asked you for anything. The Chum say, no, what a nice guy. The Katan never would have known that the father was owed any money. And he voluntarily went over to the father, to the kid, and said, by the way, I owed your dad money, but it's not as much as I used to owe him. I used to owe him $1 million, and I paid him back $500,000, so I'll pay you back the rest. He's a Meshav Avedu, Pater, he's Pater from a Shavua. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, just like if a person is Moda on his own, that he owed the father money, he's Chayiv a Shavua, even though there's no tviya against him. So too, if a katan comes b'tainas aviv and he says, you owed my father money, so he's going to be nishba on the hodah b'mitzas of that, because it's no worse than when he's nishba b'tainas atzmo. But how do we even understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Doesn't he agree that this is a meshav aveda? Out of the goodness of his heart, he's admitting that he owed the father money. So rav b'shita no katan. No, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was not talking about where there was no claim against the guy at all. It was where there was a claim. It was a katan that came and said, you owed my father money. So says Gemara, katan, what do you mean? How could it be that the katan was tovea? Didn't we learn you do not take a shvua on a taina of a chereshot of a katan? So why is the lova have to take a shvua? So says Gemara, li'olam, because of that kasha, the Gemara explains Rav's teretz slightly differently. That li'olam gadol, that we're really talking about the taina of a gadol, and that's the case that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is mechayev a shvua. V'amai kari le'katan, you know why we refer to him as a katan? Because when it comes to his father's business dealings, he has no idea. And therefore, he's like a katan. So that's why it's called that that the guy's being modu b'mixas on tainas atzmo, and he's going to have to take a shvua. Iachi tainas atzmo, tainas acherim hi. But what do you mean? It's if the person making the taina against you is a gadol, how can you call that tainas atzmo? That's tainas acherim. So it says more tainas acherim v'odas atzmo. That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov meant to say when he said that you take a shvua tainas atzmo, it's other people making a taina that you have to that you owe the money, and hodas atzma, that you were modu b'mitzas, you're going to be chayiv shvua. So it says more kulan amitain sechem hodas atzma ninu. That's every modu b'mitzas. Meaning, every modu b'mitzas is someone else makes a taina, and you're modu to some portion of that taina. So what does Rabbi Yaakov say? Pa'amim, that you take a shvua and taina atzma. Every case of modu b'mitzas, pa'amim. That's always. And if it's talking about the tevia of a gadol, why would the chacham pater? Right, the chacham say you don't have to take a shvua. This classic modu b'mitzas. A gadol asked for $100, and you said you paid 50. So the chacham are going to pater in such a case. So because of that kasha, the Gemara says it goes back to the first hesber that Rav gave and explained that the Bryce is talking about that it was a katan. It wasn't a gadol that we're just calling a katan. It was a katan. Ella, when Rav said that it was a katan mamish, since the tevia was on a chov that belonged to the father, it was a nesina of an ish, so the tevia of the katan is going to be mechayev shvua. And what are Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chum arguing about? B'derabba kamifligi. They're arguing about the svara of Rabba. D'amar Rabba had said, mipnei ma'am retorah modu miksas tayni yishava. Why is it that when you're modu b'miksas, the Torah tells us that you have to take a shvua? After all, you could have just been kofar hakol, and therefore aren't you like a meshav aveda by agreeing that you paid anything, that you owe anything, rather? You could have just been kofar hakol. So why is it that you have to take a shvua? So Rabbi explained, chazaka einad meis panav bifnei bal chavo. Because we have a chazaka that you wouldn't be kofar hakol, because you would never deny the entirety of the loan when someone lent you money. Either we went through differences in Rishonim, but Pashas, a guy did you a favor. Like Rashi says, a guy did you a favor, you wouldn't deny that favor that he did you by being kofar hakol. And therefore, v'hai b'kuli b'ay d'lichperei. You really want to be kofar hakol, v'hai d'lokafri mishum deino mei espad b'fnei balchovo. The reason that you can't bring yourself to be kofar hakol is because you have some shred of decency in you, of humanity in you, that a guy had lent you money, that you're not going to be kofar hakol. But you would have liked to be kofar hakol, so the biggest lie you could bring yourself to was to be modu b'miksas. So now the Torah is going to say, you have to take a shavua. And Rabbi goes on to say, or your other option was, ubekuli by delo delay, that maybe you wanted to admit to the whole chov and you wanted to pay back the whole thing. And the reason you didn't do that is a shmutu shamit minei, you're trying to stall for time. I do plan on paying it back one day, but right now I don't have enough money to pay back, so I'm just going to deny some portion of what I owe. And the Torah therefore says that we impose a shvua and a modu b'miksas to encourage him to pay back the entire loan. So that's the svara of modu b'miksas. And it's within that svara that you have machlokas between Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov savar lo shna ba lo shna b'mno eino meiz. That when we say a person is not meiz panav b'fnei bal chovo, and you never would be kofar hakol, that's true both of the father who actually loaned him the money and the kid who knows nothing. So the hilchah lav meishav avedu, and therefore you're not considered a meishav avedu by admitting that you owe some amount of money. You have no choice but to admit that. The little bit of humanity that you have, the little bit of decency that you have, requires that you admit that. For Rabbanan Savri b'fanav hudeinu meiz al b'fnei b'no meiz. The Rabbanan say, why wouldn't he have the chutzpah to say that to the son? The father's one that lent him the money. To the kid, he would be happy to say, I never got anything from you or anyone in your family, because the kid never did him any favors. So midolo meiz meishav avedahu. So why wasn't he kofar hakol? He's a meishav aveda. It's not that he wasn't kofar hakol because he couldn't bring himself to be kofar hakol. For the kid, he could bring himself to be kofar hakol. He just he was really a meishav aveda, and that's why he's pater from a shvua. So it turns out that according to Rav, the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a taina of a katan on a chov of his father is mechayev shvua. So mi matzus mukmatla ke Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Can you really say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Hakatani reisha, but the reisha of the Mishnah says that if the son tainas mana la abba biyadcha, you owe dad $100, and the lover responds, "Ein lecha biyadi ela chamishim dinar. I only owe 50." Pater mneishav meishav aveda. He's pater because he's a meishav aveda. But that's not how Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that when the tovea comes with the tainus aviv, the nitva has to take a shvua that he's not considered a meishav aveda. So says Mar Hasam Delamer Barili, Hachadamer Barili. In the reisha of the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where the kid doesn't really know. He doesn't know for sure that you owe dad money, and he says, "I don't know for sure." So then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Yaakov is moda that the nitva is going to be potter from a shvuah of moda b'miktsas. Whereas in the seif of the Mishnah, it's where the katan is saying, I know for sure that you owe dad the money. That's all one mahalik. That's all Rav's mahalik in handling the stira in our Mishnah. So again, in our Mishnah, we said a nishba in latinus katan, and then we said that avon nishba in lekatan lehagdish. How do we resolve it? So that Rav's first Rav's resolution was babitainus aviv. That is the difference between the katan coming with his own claim versus the katan coming with his father's claim. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, we're never nishba lekatan. When it says in the Mishnah that we're nishba in lekatan li parami nichsei katan lehagdish li parami nichsei hagdish. That means to get paid back from the nechassim of a katan. That someone, it's not that it's someone has a shtar chov that the father of the katan owed him money, and now I want to collect from the katan's possessions because of this shtar. So that's what it means. That calls man that he doesn't swear that the father still owes the money and that he didn't pay it up before he died. You're not going to be able to collect. And the same when it comes to hagdish. So ask the Gemara, is that what the Mishnah means? That nishban li katan li parim min nichse katan, that it's about getting paid back from the nechassim of a katan? Well, if that's the case, tanina, that's a beferish of Mishnah we're going to have in a couple of days from now, and it's a Mishnah in Ksubis as well. So tarti lamali, how many Mishnahs do you need to tell you the same thing, that you can only collect from nichse yisomim with a shavua? So it says Mara hakamashmalan. No, it's telling me a chiddush kadabai kashisha. The reason it tells me this twice is to teach me the chiddush of Abai Kashisha. The Tani Abai Kashisha, Yisomim Sha'amru Gedolim. When it says Yisomim, when the Chum say Yisomim, it means even Gedolim, Vein Tzarech Lomar Katanim. And obviously, if they're Yisomim Katanim, Bein L'Shavua, whether it's as far as the fact that the Malva cannot collect from Yisomim without a Shavua, that's true even of Yisomim Gedolim, Bein L'Ziboris, or that which when you collect from Nichse Yisomim, you can only collect Ziboris. That's true even if they're Gedolim. So that's why it says the Din of Yisomim twice in the Mishnah, to tell me once that whenever you want to get paid back from Yisomim, you need a Shavua, and second, that even if it's Yisomim Gedolim, you're going to have to get paid back with a Shavua. So ask the Gemara on Shmuel, can you really say that when it says Lehagdish, the part of me, Nichse Hagdish, that it's coming to tell me that if you want to get paid back from Nichse Hagdish, you need a Shavua? Tanina, that's also a Beferish of Mishnah we'll have in a few days from now. From Karka, that the love is sold after the Alva'a and is now in the hands of Lekuchos, lo yiparu el b'shua. You can only get paid back from shua. Mali mishpatim lagdu, mali mishpatim l'gavoa. What difference should it make if it's mishuba to a regular person or it's mishuba l'gavoa? It belongs to Agdash right now. So itzrich. No, I need both mishnayos. Sal k'day t'chamina hedyotu da'adamosa k'nuni ala hedyot. I might have thought that by a hedyot the chav made a takana that you need to take a shua because we're suspicious that you're trying to trick, to make a, to be deceitful and to take money away from a hedyot, to take money away from another person. Aval hagdash, they know the most kanuni al hagdash. But I would think when it comes to hagdash, where a person is not going to make kanuni al hagdash, so I would think the chum don't make any such takana kamash malan. Therefore, it has to tell me that you even have to take a shvua for to collect from hagdash. Vam Rav Huna asked the Gemara, but didn't Rav Huna teach us shchiv mirav? If a person is dying, shehagdash kol nechasav, and he's makdash all of his nechasim, va'amar mana l'ploni biyadi, and he says this $100 of nechasim don't give to Agdish because I owe that to Ploni. I'm being makdish everything else, but this $100 I still owe to Ploni. Neman, he's believed, and we give that mana to that person, and we're not choshesh that it doesn't belong to Ploni, and he was just trying to get money away from Hagdish, shalo kedin, so that he can then split that money with that person. Chazaka in Admasa Kanunya ala Hagdish, because we have a chazaka that a person would not make a Kanunya with Hagdish. So when he's saying, or against Hagdish, so what he's saying is clearly MS. So whereas according to the Gemara's answer, you see from our Mishnah that even the Gabi Hagdish, we're choshesh that the guy is going to be also Kanunya, and that's why we make him take a Shavua. So answers the Gemara, Amri, Hani Mili Shchiv Merah De'in Adam Chote Velo Lo. When are we not choshesh that a person is going to make a kanunya and he's going to try to get money out of Hagdish? That's when he's dying. When he's dying, he's not going to benefit from that money anyway. But when a guy is healthy, we always have to be suspicious for a couple of bucks. He may compromise on his principles, even against Hagdish. Mishnah. The following things, there is no shvua on. Havadim, ashtaros, hakarkos, v'akdeshos. Avadim, which means avadim kananim, shtaros, karka, and Hagdish. Kaddish. And by the way, that same list, Ein Ben Tashlumei Kefel. If you steal those things, you don't pay Kefel. V'lo Tashlumei Arba V'chamisha. Nor is there Dalet V'hei. If you steal an animal that belongs to Hagdish and you shecht it and you sell it. Shomer Chinam Einu Nishma. And on that same list of items, a Shomer Chinam that has a Pikadon that gets stolen or lost does not have to take a Shvua. Shvua is a Pikadon. Nosi Sachar Einu Mishalim. And a Shomer Sachar does not have to pay for Gnei V'aveda of those items. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kachim Shchayv Bach Riusan Nishban Aleim. Well, it depends when it comes to kachim. If it's a karban that if it were to get lost, you would have to replace it because you said hare alai karban, then it's considered yours and therefore you would take a shvu on it. Sheinu chayv bach rison, ein nishban aleim. But if you're not chayv bach rison, then it's hekdish and you don't take a shvu on it. Remeirom yeshram shein bikarka ve'inon kikarka. There are things that are attached to the ground but do not have a din of karka. Ve'in cham modlam, but cham disagree. Ketzad, what would be such a case? Esek, gefanim tunus masati lach. A guy says, I gave you 10 vines full of grapes. Va'alomer, and El Chamesh, another one says, no, you only gave me 5 vines full of grapes. Rameir Mechayev Shur. Rameir says, he's Chayev Shur Smodim Mixas, Vechamer Kal Mechubil Karka, Reu Karka. What are you talking about? It's Mechubil Karka. That has a din of Karka. You don't take a Shur on Karka. Einishman Ella Aldov Shem Midav Shem Mishkal Shem Minyan. A Shur has to be on something that is measurable. Meaning, if there's Modim Mixas, there has to be a claim for an amount and an agreement to a certain amount. Ketzad, what's an example? Bayis Mali Masarti Lecha. Guy says, I gave you a house full. Vikis Mali Masarti Lecha. I gave you a wallet full of money. Valomer Eini Odea. And the other guy says, I don't know how much it was. Elamei Shenachta Atanotel. Whatever you gave me, I just gave back to you, though. Pater. The Nitva is Pater from Shvua, because there was no set amount that he was asking for. But, Ze Omer, if the Tovea says, Ad Aziz, Vize Omer Ad Achalon, that he says, I gave you a house full filled up to this point, to this line, and the guy says, no, you only gave me, filled up to a lower line, so then chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv, because that is something that is measurable, and you only have a shvua when it's when the taina was a clear and measurable taina. Okay, B'l Shem, tomorrow we'll begin with the Gemara after the Mishnah. Have a great day, everybody.